James chapter 4, verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to be a blessing and a help. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you direct the course of the message. And, Lord, may it be of great benefit to us as we, Lord, live out our vapor. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I preached on the importance of time. Tonight I'm going to preach on planning your time. Planning your time. Look back at the scriptures and let's do a quick Bible study here that I think will be of great benefit to us. Set the stage for some very practical advice tonight. Number one, life vanishes at an astounding rate. Life vanishes at an astounding rate. A day goes so quickly. It really does. The Bible says that our entire life appears for just a little time and then vanishes away. It's like a vapor. And so if that's our entire life, take one day of that. Just try to grab a little piece of that vapor and accomplish something. That's how quickly life is. That's how quickly life goes. We talked this morning about the Bible mentioning losing time or loss of time. It's very easy to lose time. It can happen so quick. You can get up in the morning with all good intentions, and if you're not careful, you'll get to the end of the day and think, what happened and where did my plan go? And so remember this, that life vanishes at an astounding rate. Because of this, it is important to live your life on purpose. And if you don't, day after day, week after week, month after month, the Bible says that what we hope to hear at the judgment seat is well, and that's very important, well done. Folks, listen to me. We're not going to get rewards on what we intended to do. We're not going to get rewarded by good intentions. Isn't it interesting that God wants us to bring to the throne of grace, to the judgment seat, concrete accomplishments? Well done. Listen, that's not going to happen if you do not plan to live your life on purpose. Vapor after vapor, day after day. And before long, you'll look back and think, what did I really honestly accomplish in a week's time, a month's time, a year's time? And so, number one, life vanishes at an astounding rate. Because of this, it is important to live your life on purpose. Number three, all plans should be made with respect to the will of God. Now, that's clearly taught in this portion of Scripture here. We are cautioned about being boastful. The Bible says that all such boasting, all such rejoicing is evil. And what that word is, what the Bible is warning us against, is this matter of saying, without considering God's will or God's plan, what we're going to do in the future. Matter of fact, so what this is saying is this. Understand, this is not condemning having a plan or making a plan. Say, how do you know that, preacher? Because verse 15 says this, for that you ought to say. So it's okay, right? This is God saying, this is what you ought to say. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So obviously, God's not against us making a plan. He's against us making a plan and boasting about what we're going to do without considering the fact that God has a will and we're leaving God out of the picture. And so as you make your plan and as we create a schedule and as we learn to create a to-do list, understand that we do so in full acknowledgement that each and every day is in God's hands. And his will and his plan for any particular day may be way different than anything we planned. And by the way, if that's true, to God be the glory, whatever he does and whatever he dictates, we're okay with. In other words, what I guess I'm saying is this. Our plan, his plan is primary. Our plan is secondary, okay? And so number three, all plans should be made with respect to the will of God. Now look at that last verse, verse 17. Number four, it is a sin to know to do good and not to do it. Now there's two types of sins that we oftentimes, we divide sins into two categories, the sins of commission, and that's something we've committed, something we've done that we should not have done. We've committed a sin, but there's also the sin of omission, and that's something that we should do, maybe we even intended to do. We know that it's good to do, it's right to do, but we failed to do it. And here the Bible says that if we know to do good and fail to do it, that that is found in us as sin. Now, it is a sin to know to do good and not to do it. We've all said this. You know I need to do this. You know what? Preacher, thanks for mentioning that tonight, because I know I ought to do that. I know I need to do that. And so watch that, because that's a sin of omission. If you know that it is the right thing to do, you know it is a good thing to do, but you're not doing it, then that is found as sin in our life, which brings us to number five. The best way to prevent sins of omission is to live by schedule, is to live by schedule. So what we want to do is we want to discover those good things that we should be doing, and instead of saying, boy, you know what, I don't know why I don't do that, or I haven't got around to that, instead we create a schedule so that we do not, it eliminates most or much of our sins of omission. And that's why a schedule is so important. Now, let me say this. I didn't have to live on schedules, except for honestly a very loosely constructed schedule, until I went to Bible college. One of the reasons that I think it's good for, there's a lot of reasons I think it's good for young people to go to Bible college, but one of them is that you'll have to learn to live by schedule. Okay, mom's not there, dad's not there to bail you out. It is busy and intense on purpose. Every young person needs to be put in a very busy and intense situation at some point in your life where you have to learn to live by schedule, okay? And so I'm glad that I went to Bible college, and I'm glad that I had to work my way through Bible college. And you know what I found out pretty quickly? If I do not, on purpose, do on the days I've scheduled to do certain things, if I don't do what I need to do by schedule, on purpose, and stick to that schedule, I will fail. And I'm glad that I had to learn that. That was one of the big growing up moments of my life. By the way, parents, prepare them properly for that transition by not allow. Listen, I think every young person ought to be held to some type of a schedule. We'll talk a little bit about that. This shouldn't be something that's brand new when you're on your own. It is wrong to allow kids to have so much time and so much freedom and so little responsibility that they do that for 18 years and then all of a sudden think that's the way life's supposed to be. That's not the way life is. And so I'm glad about it. By the way, I'm glad that the first ministry that me and my wife was involved with was a church plant. I'm glad that I had to work a job, sometimes a job and a half, while pastoring a church. Again, I'm glad that I had to learn that if I did not schedule and do things on the day that I had scheduled to do it, that I would fail. I'm glad that I had to start a mowing business and pastor church at the same time. I'm glad that I had to mow 32 yards a week and still find time to come up with four sermons or Bible studies a week. By the way, that's not a bad thing. You know, the Bible says it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. And young people, listen, stop looking for the easy way. All right? Stop looking for your hammock. You haven't earned a hammock yet. All right? Some of you are 22 and you're semi-retired. Okay? I'm 55 and I'm just tired. Amen? I'm not retired. I'm just tired. Amen? But it's a good tired. I want to live my life busy for the Lord. And so I'm glad about that. And so don't run from that. Don't look for the easy way in life. If you're always looking for the easy way in life, the honest truth is you're not going to ever accomplish much in life at all. And so you got to put yourself in situations where it challenges you and forces you to live by schedule. Now, having said that, no, those are wonderful Bible truths. Remember that. A life vanishes at an astounding rate. Because of this, it's important to live your life on purpose. All plans should be made with respect to the will of God. It's a sin to know to do good, not to do it. The best way to prevent the sins of omission is to learn to live by schedule. Learn to live by schedule. Now, I want to give you some very practical advice and talk to you a little bit about this. And by the way, what I'm going to say isn't law. I'm going to give you good, solid, sound advice. You know what I found out? Every family and every individual has to learn how to succeed in life. Your way may be a little bit different than my way, but listen to me. Don't just be closed-minded and closed-hearted to the advice that's going to be given. Because like I said, I have lived my life under the pressure cooker of a lot of responsibilities. I've learned to live life in a way that I can succeed at a lot of things simultaneously. What I'm saying is you're listening to a man that can give you some really good advice. So please do that. I forgot to grab this, so let me grab it. I asked you all to get what I would call a monthly planner or daily planner. And what I'm talking about is something like this. And this is something that I think is important that every single household has. I think that it would be good for the wife to have hers, and I think it'd be good for the husband to have his. Okay? Now, one of the things I'll mention, I'm going to get a little ahead of myself here, but you know what? These things need to be transparent with your schedule, which means you need to, wives especially, you need to get your husband's calendar on a regular basis and make sure that you keep on your calendar some of the things that are on his calendar. If you're going to plan something, you make sure that it also is on his calendar. You need to coordinate your calendars, but your lives are different. And what a wife needs to accomplish and what a husband needs to accomplish in the course of the week and many things are different. So I think every individual, by the way, I'd love to see teenagers just go ahead and get one of these things and start deciding to learn now how to live by schedule, how to live a planned out life, okay? And so this is what I'm talking about, something like this. They do sell some that are daily planners. And again, you have to figure yourself out. I'm gonna kind of tell you how I accomplish and how I plan and how I get the things done that need to be done in my life. And again, take these ideas, put them into your life. If you need to tweak something, change something, if you've got something that works a little better for you and your family and it's working, hey, good, don't mess with it. If honestly it's not working, then don't be so proud that you can't take some good advice tonight. And so let me see if I can be a blessing and help to you tonight, all right? Okay. Here we are. This is the month of January, all right? There it is. It's almost already gone. Amen. Well, it's there. It's the 8th. If you've lost anything, you've lost about a week, and you've got the rest of these wonderful days here. Look at that. Brand new, clean days. There they are. Great opportunity. And all of this, promise you, from here to here is going to happen like that. Okay? It's going to be a vapor. Okay, I promise you, if you don't pick up one of these and don't begin to participate and learn and do what I'm going to try to teach you, you know what? February 1st is going to be here, and all of your good intentions and everything that you thought about doing, that closet you still haven't touched, you're still not going to have touched it, all right? There's got to be a plan. There's got to be something that you go to that dictates. Now, listen. You know what? Everybody needs a boss. Your schedule needs to be your boss. Hey, preacher, you don't have a schedule. You don't have a boss. Yes, I do. I have a boss. It's called my schedule. You have a boss. It's called your schedule. I don't get up every day and say, what do I want to do? Well, I want to help some of you young people. I can't believe, honestly, the lack of just rational thinking in the minds of so many young people. I can't wait till I can get to be an adult where I can do whatever I want. God bless you. Amen. There's only one way you're going to learn. Just get out there. Go ahead. Do it. By the way, parents, make them do it. Make them learn. All right. But don't enable them. Make them learn. But yeah, you know what? Hey, I got a boss. It's called my schedule. My schedule is going to tell me what I have to do that day. All right, so listen carefully, and I'm going to see if I can help you. I want to get right into this, all right? Okay, so let's act like it's January 1st, okay? And here we are. We've got an entire month ahead of us, and we open it up. Now, we haven't written anything down yet, but this is where I want you to start. Number one, give God top priority. Give God top priority. You say, is that Bible? Of course it is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here's a question that was asked Jesus. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And so God gets top priority, all right? Now, look at me. Your family does not get top priority. God gets top priority. Somebody once said, well, if you put your family first, you are putting God first. Let me have you switch that. If you put God first, you're putting your family first, okay? And so God gets the first place. That should be normal. Young people, listen, don't ever get bitter because you have parents that put God number one. Okay, wives, don't get bitter at your husband because God is number one. If you don't want God to be number one, please tell me who you want to be number one. Are you going to make an idol out of yourself? Children, are you demanding idol status from your parents? Because there's silly little things that are said in Christianity. Well, I'll tell you what, mom and dad just put the church before us. Why don't you say it the way it really is? Okay? How about you just say, listen, who told them to go to church? Where'd they get that idea? I think it's somebody called God, okay? All right? Who commanded us to be busy serving? Busy winning souls? Okay, all right. Now be careful, because what you're doing is you're saying things and you're hiding something that's wrong in your heart. You see, you want to be number one. You want your parents to put you number one, or you want your husband to put you number one. Folks, listen to me. Only God gets top status. All right, so what I'm going to do right away is I'm going to make sure that God gets top priority. So I'm going to go to every Sunday morning, and I'm going to write in 9:30 Sunday school, 10:30 morning service, 7 o'clock evening service. Go to every Wednesday night. I'm going to put 7 o'clock Bible study and prayer meeting. And that's the first thing that's going to go on my schedule. Now, I'm talking about, folks, here a monthly schedule. We're going to spend a day teaching you some things that ought to be included in every day, okay? But right now, I'm going to give you kind of the overall game plan, and then we'll deal at some point with a daily schedule, okay? Because there's some things that I do daily that I don't put on my calendar. All right, and I'll show you how I handle that a little bit differently, okay? If I had to write down every single thing every day, these boxes would have to be about that size, okay? And so I'm talking about a general game plan, something I can look at and know what's ahead in the next week or so. And so number one, write in church service times. Number two, write in weekly or monthly ministry commitments. Weekly or monthly ministry commitments. That means if you have a monthly nursing home, you ought to, and let's say it's the first Monday of each month, you ought to write it in there. It's the first Sunday after. Write it on your calendar. That way you look at it. You're looking ahead at it. You're thinking about it. You're planning it as you're looking at what's coming up. And so write down your weekly or monthly ministry commitments, okay? Now, I'm going to ask you to do this. Take the church calendar, all right, and transfer everything on the church calendar onto your personal calendar, okay? Now, that means like on the remodeling, you know, I'd have a little arrow right here. It's how I do it. And a little dot, 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 all the way through the 28th, another little arrow ending here, and I would write church remodel. Okay? Now, by the way, that just makes me aware that that's what's happening at the church for those 2 weeks. That doesn't mean that I'm going to be here 24/7 for every day of that. I understand that. But I want it in front of me what's happening at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, so that when I begin to plan all these other things, I'm aware of what's going on at the church. I want to say this to you, and I want you to listen to this and believe it. If you'll take that church calendar, and you will fill in everything, every service, and everything that your pastor has planned in a year's time, and then you will flip through it, you ought to flip through it and say, amen. Thank you, Lord, that our pastor is so conscious of the fact that we have a life, and that we have a family, and that we have to mow the yard, and that we have weekly and daily responsibilities, because I can promise you, I could take you to ministries where when you get done putting in the Christian school activities and the church activities and the church services, there's hardly a day where there's not something written down. Listen to me. I promise you, if you'll do what I just said, you'll look at that, and if you're honest, you'll take a look and say, my goodness sakes, honestly, Blessed Hope Baptist Church does not overly burden our family with a lot of extra things. Okay? So be thankful about what we do have. And because I don't do that, make those things a high priority in your life. Because I'm showing respect to you, please turn around and show respect back to your church. The things that we do have planned, let's get into it. Let's be busy. Let's all show up and let's all participate in it, okay? And so that's good. Now, I will mention this to our kids, folks that have kids in the Christian school, is we also have a school calendar. And one of the things, if you're not careful of, because we have a school calendar and a church calendar, you can put all the church calendar stuff on there and fail to put the school calendar things on there. There's some things that, of course, are school-related. So, number four, transfer the school calendar to your personal calendar. And again, go to any other Christian school. Take a look at their calendar and all the things that they have their kids being run to and all of the sports and all of the nonstop. And you know what? The honest truth is, the average Christian school schedule partnered with the average church schedule is just about destroying the family unit. I'm just telling you the truth. We don't do that here. But what we do have, please participate in. You know, do take a part in. Because I think once you do what I just said and you flip through it, you're going to see you've still got a lot of time and a lot of flexibility to be able to do the other things that we're going to go through now. So give God top priority. We're talking about church services, weekly or monthly ministry commitments. You see, preacher, I don't have one of those. You ought to. You ought to have a weekly ministry commitment. Bus workers, schedule what day and what time during that day that you're going to do your bus visitation. Okay? Plan that. Keep that the same. Write that in. Just put it in concrete. All right? Just put it in granite. I understand we're going to talk about schedule flexibility a little bit here. But you know what? You got to go ahead and have a plan of when it's going to be accomplished. That way everybody in the household knows that this is when we visit, this is when we do this, this is when we this is what soul winning outreach we're a part of, this is what nursing home we're a part of, this is what we do to serve the Lord, okay? All right, so now we finished that. Once you get that done, you're going to look through again and you're going to say, man, we've got a great preacher and a very understanding pastor. And my goodness sakes, we're spoiled. Matter of fact, even if he comes up with several extra things that he throws in here and there, boy, we're still got it made compared to most of these terrible slave-driving pastors that are out there, all right? Okay, we'll move on. Number two. I just kind of kept going, thought I might get an amen somewhere, but I'm out here swimming by myself. All right, number two. All right, now you got that? Okay, good. Now, number two, plan family celebrations and family events. All right, now we've got all of that dictated. So you're not going to plan a Christmas or a birthday party on Sunday night at 7 o'clock. All right, you're about to plug in the family. All right, you're not gonna decide, boy, good time for us to get away for a little anniversary trip would be revival week. All right, what I'm saying is, let's keep our priorities, you know, and now we're working around that stuff, okay? And so number two, plan family celebrations and events. Now, write in, and you husbands will have to have your wives do this, okay, because we don't know things like this, but write in all family birthdays and family anniversaries, okay, write them in, all right? One of the first things I do is hand my daily planner. Beginning of the year, I hand it to my wife. She goes through and fills in all the family stuff for me, okay? And so I can look ahead. I can look check every month. I know that, Shaylee's having her birthday on this month at this time, and we're thinking ahead on it, okay? So make sure that, now you say, preacher, this is pretty elementary. We're going to get to some stuff that's not. By the way, you'd be surprised how many people don't do the elementary stuff, okay? All right, husbands, this is going to keep you out of hot water. It's nice if you know when your anniversary is. For those of you that are empty nesters like us, it's nice to know when the kids' anniversaries are. And so, you know, the bigger your family gets, the more it grows, the more things are on the calendar, and it's good for you to remember those things. So now you've written in all of those things, okay? Now, this is what I want you to do next. Plan a family vacation, 2017. Plan a family vacation, all right? You need to go ahead and do that now. You need to do that at the beginning of the year. Get that scheduled, get that plugged in. And you know what? Take a look through it. Again, don't take it during fall revival. Don't take it during our family conference. Okay, don't take it the 2 weeks in January that we're remodeling the church. All right. I would try not to be gone Sundays of the fall program or spring program. I mean, I'm not going to be mad at you if you aren't. We have people that do, and it's okay. But, you know, if you can, and sometimes you can't. Sometimes you just come to me and say, preacher, the honest truth is, this is the window we have. By the way, anybody's ever done that, you know what your preacher said. You know what I've said to you? I'm glad your family's going to be able to get away. God bless you. Is there anything I can do? If we got everything covered, hey, have a great time. Please be careful. That's all I've ever said to any family. Okay, I've been very gracious in that. Please return that graciousness by just saying again, we haven't got tons of things planned, but what we do, I want to be here to support and participate to the best of my ability. And if there is an occasional conflict, your preacher's fine with you. All right, I mean that. I'm not going to be mad at you. Let's just work together to try to do the best we can in that, okay? So I want you to plan a family vacation, all right? I believe everybody needs to get away. And I think every family ought to have a vacation time. Sometimes it's a vacation, sometimes it's a staycation, okay? Well, people say, preacher, we'd go on vacation, but we don't have a lot of money. And the honest truth is, it does not take a lot of money to still have some wonderful special times with your family and build memories with your family. But I want you to go ahead and put it in. Gentlemen, if we don't, I promise you, the year will get by. And we're always trying to find that week in that slot. So right now, we're going to sit down with the wife and our place of employment, work it out, figure it out, and try to get a family schedule, a vacation scheduled. All right? Now, number three, this will help you a lot in this year if you'll do this. I want you to plan 12 monthly family activities. 12 monthly family activities. Now, what I'd like you to do is schedule the time as far as which day you're going to do that now. Go ahead and put it on the calendar. It doesn't mean that you have to know every detail of every one, but if it's not somewhere on your monthly calendar, then you're not going to do it, okay? This isn't a husband-wife getaway. We're going to get to that in a minute. This is a family thing. Once a month, something that for your family to do, okay? Listen, folks, I don't want to, again, create a situation where, you know, we have people missing 10, 12 Sundays and use as the excuse, well, we planned a family getaway. A family activity and a family day or half day doesn't have to mean you have to take a trip. It doesn't mean you have to stay away anywhere. It can be a picnic at Shackamack State Park. It can be, you know what, renting a couple of canoes and going on the lake. It could be a lot of things, again, that not necessarily take a lot of money, but it's something that you're doing together as a family. Now, watch, you say, preacher, just one a month? Listen, I'm talking about a special activity. I'm talking about something that when the kids and the wife look at the calendar, they can say, man alive, this month we get to do this. That's not the only time you spend with your family. By the way, when you come to church services, I got to clarify it with some of the guys here, all right? I'm giving you 4 hours on the 29th. What else do you want? Okay. Church, listen to this, church service time is family time. You get in the car together, you come as a family, you sit as a family, you go home as a family. Ministry time, I like it to be family time. I like it when families are serving together, okay? And so, but it would be wonderful if you would take the time to plan. Now, husbands, wives, you need to work together on this, okay? Sometimes a husband will say to a wife, all right, here's the days we'll do it, now plan something. I want you to help her plan something. Sometimes the wife does the same thing. Well, I want you to plan it. Let me tell you something. Guys are dumb. If you tell us to plan something, you're probably not going to like it when we do plan it, okay? So what I'm saying, wives, is you can say, well, I want my husband to plan everything. No, you really don't, okay? You really don't. And I'm not letting you guys off the hook. It'd be nice every once in a while if you just said, hey, I got a surprise. She's going to be really nervous that week, but, and after maybe one surprise, she may just say, you know, I'll just take care of this from now on. But it's kind of fun to plan it together, honestly. And one of the things that we're going to do, and I'm going to ask you to help me with this, is, I'd like you to turn these things in, and maybe we ought to figure out some organized way to do it. Can we put a box at the back or something like that? My wife will help with this. But I just delegated that, amen. I got a point on that. Stay with me, all right? But listen, folks, you know what's sad? A lot of times, the coolest things in the area in which you live, you never go see. I mean, that's the honest truth. I'm going to use this as an example, even though I'd never go. I have no desire to go. If I'm away from here in another state, and I mention I'm from Indiana, you know what most people say? Oh, the Indianapolis 500. So how is that? I don't know. Now, I wouldn't go to it because everything I've heard about it, it's not something that I think probably is something I'd feel comfortable doing, all right, from what I've heard. Now, I've never been there, but from what I've heard. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of things that's within a half day of here. There's a lot of things within a two-hour circle here that, you know, it's neat. It's cool. It's something to go see. It's something to go do as a family. And so we look for those things. And me and Cheryl, time to time, we'll just kind of look in our boundaries, within our boundaries of what we can do in a half day or a day trip, and we try to find something. And you know what? Just go look at it. Go. You know, folks, listen. Even if you think it's going to be this and you get there and it's this, if it was 2 hours away, you had 2 hours in a car. I mean, how valuable is that after a while? Sometimes just to spend, sometimes just to talk. Okay, you get to go eat somewhere you've never gone before. You get to go do something. And so just the idea of it, plan a family, monthly family activity. All right, now, number four, plan, schedule a date time with your wife. Now, this is where it gets difficult. Stay with me here, all right? I've got written down, I'll tell you what I've got written down. Plan a monthly date with your wife. Now, again, that doesn't mean it's the only time you spend with your wife, okay? You say, preacher, I want a weekly date night, okay? Your wives say, I want a weekly date night, okay? And by the way, if you're our empty nesters, me and my wife, we can pull that off now, and it's not that hard. When we had kids, that was hard. That was hard. You know what? Life does get easier the older you get, amen? And so, I mean, wives, don't kill him. It's going to get better. I promise you, all right? But plan some type of a scheduled. You may want to make it every other week. You may want to make it once a month. Remember, that's not the only time you spend with your wife. I mean, we do a lot of things together. We do a lot of things around the house. We work on projects together. We eat meals together. We have the joy of working together. And then this is my secretary at the church here. It's not that we don't spend other time, but it's still nice to have time on the schedule where you know you're going to do something together, okay? Now, look up here. Say, preacher, we have kids. That's just impossible. Get rid of that word impossible. It's not impossible. Sir, you can make it happen if you will. Well, we're one of these families. We just don't leave our kids with anybody. Okay, how's your marriage? You need to stop saying things like that, as if that makes you a superior parent, okay? Excuse me. All right, ask your wife if she's happy about that. Sometimes you say stuff like that because you're too lazy to plan something with your wife, and that's your out. All right, there's a little Greek word you need to learn, babysitter. It would be very wise. I mean this. And there's good people. There's folks. There's teenagers. It'd be good for some of our teenage girls to be used in this capacity. By the way, don't take advantage of someone because they go to your church. Pay them and pay them good and pay them fair. Okay? But it would be really wise for a lot of you to just lock in. Just go to one of the teenage girls. By the way, talk to their parents and go to them and say, you know, honestly, we'd kind of like to do this. We'd like to lock in the second Thursday of every month. Could we just put that on our calendar and you put it on your calendar and we could have your daughter come and watch our kids? And you know what? That may not seem like a big deal, but remember I talk about that monthly vape. All right, those of you that do nursing home services, how quick does that nursing home service come a month later? I mean, how many times have you said, it can't be this Sunday, we just did it? Once a month comes quick. Once a month is going to seem like quite a bit. If you can secure that with kids at home, that's a great thing. And so I think I would just, you know, try to find somebody that you're comfortable with, that is responsible, and lock them in and plan that thing and get it on the calendar and understand, you know, life, and I'm going to get to this, but sometimes flexibility of schedule, things might have to be changed or shifted depending on a certain month. It may not be where you have the second Thursday of every month available because it's something that's planned else in your life. But as much as possible, keep it on a regular schedule. And I promise you, that is a great investment. Folks, listen to me. You know what? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, I've watched this and I've dealt with it, folks, scores of times through the course of ministry, where a husband and a wife get to the point where I just don't have a heart for my wife anymore. I don't have a heart for my husband anymore. People talk about, well, we just grew apart. You know, that's kind of a worldly phrase and I think a worldly excuse for sometimes ending a marriage. Well, let me tell you how you keep from growing apart. Let me tell you how you keep a heart for anything. You keep a heart by investing, okay? It's going to mean a lot to your wife that you take some finances and invest as a couple. It's going to mean a lot to your wife that you're taking money and willing to hire a babysitter. And, you know, this couple's retreat, I'm going to give it a plug. It's going to mean a lot to your wife if you rearrange things in your life, no matter what you have to do, to see to it that she gets to go to this thing. And you know what I found out in life? You know what? Everybody wants everything to be free, but the honest truth is, if it's free, it doesn't mean anything. And besides that, we find money for most anything we really want to do in life. And so, you know, just make that a priority. We're talking about investing in our family, investing. So plan at least a monthly date with your wife, weekly. If you're an empty nester, you do have a lot more flexibility, and there's not as many hurdles to get over to be able to have time alone. And I think that the older you get, listen to me, the older you get, the more important this is. I think when your kids get into those teenage years, you really need to start investing strongly again in your marriage. Okay? Because you're about to go through a transitioning time in your life. And you know what? You need to really make sure that you're spending those years building up to that, refocusing and rekindling and preparing your marriage for this second half, which, by the way, is fantastic. It really is. It can be the best years of your marriage. But what happens a lot of times, people grow away, they grow apart, they get to the point. I'm going to say a couple things. Everybody starts, you know, I hear mom say, well, my life's all about my kids. And you know what I say to that? That's why we have an altar, so that you can correct things in your life and get right with God in areas of your life. Okay, that's that. God did not look down in the Garden of Eden and see a diaper that needed to be changed and made a woman. He saw a man that needed a helpmeet and he made a woman. And those two became one. Okay, your marriage needs to be permanent. Your children are temporary. You're going to have them for a certain period of time. And then you know what? They're going to leave and cleave. That's what the Bible says they should do. It's the natural course of life. It's what you would hope and want for them. And you know what? They're going to leave their father and mother, cleave unto their wife, their husband. They're going to become one flesh. They're going to establish their own home, and the whole process starts over. And so you got to prepare for the second half of marriage. And that's why I believe when your kids get to be teenagers, you need to intensify those times. Once you're empty nesters, there is more flexibility. You don't have to. You know, remember when you first got married and at 2 o'clock in the morning you decided that you wanted to go down to Wendy's and get a Frosty and you just jumped in the car and went and done it? And then God gave you something called a baby, and guess what? That didn't happen as much anymore. Guess what? One of these days you can still go to Frosty. No, you get to go to Wendy's and get it. I started to say that, but I think you're too tired to at that point. But at least you can do it. You could do it if you had the energy to do it. And so... Amen. All right. Okay, let me give you one more quickly. All right, we're planning our family celebrations and events. So now we've got our calendar open. We've got our family birthdays and anniversaries. We've notched out our family vacation, either 2 weeks or a week here and a week there, or whatever you can do. One vacation, one staycation, whatever you want to do, okay? And then number three, you're planning a family activity, a monthly family activity. You get on the calendar now. A date time, a time that your wife can look forward to where it's just you and her, and you make that thing happen. And then number five, I think it's good at the beginning of 2017, plan a home improvement project for 2017. And gentlemen, this is something your wife really will appreciate. And I think every single, you know, I talked about it. You know, we were able to have Brother Ron and his sweet Swedish wife over to our house today and had a good time. Didn't we have a good time? And I told them when they walked in and they were looking around at our home, and I said, I wish everybody that could visit our home, I wish I had a little book that people could look at and look at that home, the pictures of when we first bought it. And let me tell you something. You know what? Investing in your home, working together to improve your home, just doing a little bit a time, one project a year, a couple small projects a year, over the course of 20 years, you can take a very humble place and you can continue to make. And by the way, I want my home and my house to be nice for my wife. That means a lot to her. Okay, so that's a good investment. It's a good investment in your wife. It's a good investment in your marriage. It's a good investment in your home, because home ought to be a special place. And so I'd ask her, okay, what do you need? Where's your frustration point? What could we redo or remodel? What's too small? What can be consolidated? And walk through the house. Man alive, a twinkle will come in her eye. She'll get all excited. You won't be able to write fast enough. And then you have to say, okay, we only have so much. So what's the priority? What do you want to see done first? Could we do that this year? Let's plan a time to do it. Again, look at the schedule. If it's going to be, well, when we get around to it, you will never get around to it. And so maybe on a staycation instead of a vacation, you could take a week off and just say, let's do this together and let's do this. And almost everything that's been done in our home, we've done. And you know what's exciting about that? We did it. Okay? And so we did it together. It's a family project. When the girls were together, we did it. And so not only does the house improve slowly, but also you walk around and touch memories. Okay? And so does that make sense? All right, so number one, give God top priority. Number two, plan family celebrations and events. Number three, all right, I'll give you this, all right? Plan your, now we're going to get down to I need you to plan your normal weekly schedule. Normal weekly schedule, okay? All right, now let me just go ahead and explain what a normal weekly schedule is. You're only going to have about 40 normal weeks in a year. If you're lucky, you're only going to have about 40 normal weeks in a year. Okay? When we have revival, that's not a normal week. All right? Christmas, holiday times, is not a normal week. Okay? Thanksgiving week's not really a normal week. Vacation is not a normal week. And so you're going to look at your calendar and you're going to say, well, there's a lot of weeks that we cannot just have a set schedule. But watch this. There's probably 40 at least that you can. Now, everybody ought to have a regular weekly schedule for a normal or what I would call a normal week of your life. Now, how do you come up with that? All right. How do I come up with a normal weekly schedule? I'm talking about a Sunday through Saturday. Sunday's the first day of the week. Sunday through Saturday. Write it down. Sunday. If you want to, take a notebook, piece of paper. You can make 6 lines, 7 slots. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now, you're going to fill those days in. This is my normal weekly schedule. Now, what you need to do is create, first of all, write down a list of normal weekly responsibilities. What is it that you have to do every single week of your life? Okay, now again, ladies, your list and your normal weekly schedule is going to be different than your husband's weekly schedule. All right, so what is it that you need to be doing every single week of your life? All right, you create that list. All right, during the summer, I got to mow the grass once a week. Okay, ladies, let me get to them. Start with the men. I'm going to be jumping too much and confuse you. Create a normal weekly schedule. Husbands, create your normal weekly schedule. Now, that means, first of all, you're going to plug in as men, you're going to put your work schedule, your work hours. Guess what? That's going to be locked in. I hate this. I hate it. Some of you have these type of jobs, and I'd go crazy if I had your life. And you're really going to have to work harder at coming up with a normal. I hate these jobs where every week of your life it's different. I do. Whoever come up with this 3 days on, 2 days off, 4 days on, 3 days off nonsense has done more to hurt the family. And really, I think to keep people constantly off kilter in their life. And you know what? If you've got that job, like I said, you can work that type of job, but you're just going to have to work harder at coming up with a normal. You may have to plan what a normal month is instead of what a normal week is. But as much as possible, come up with a normal weekly schedule. You do that by writing down everything. All right, work schedule, gentlemen, sleep schedule. All right, you got to work and you got to sleep. All right, what other weekly responsibilities do you have? What needs to be done either at home or somewhere else every single week? And then you've got those 7 days. And once you get there, by the way, I've got on the list here, work schedule, sleep schedule, weekly responsibility, hobbies. Okay, all work and no play makes Jack dull. Okay, well, I'd like to be able to do this once a week. Okay, put it on the list. Put it on the list. All right. Some of you work jobs where you don't need to exercise. You get plenty of exercise where you work. Some of us work jobs where we need to exercise. And if we don't, we're not going to maintain good health. And so whatever you have to do, work schedule, sleep schedule, weekly responsibilities, that everybody's different. So gentlemen, what are your home weekly responsibilities? Every single week at home, I need to find time to do this once a week. Now you're going to come up with a list. Now you're going to look at this. You've got your work and you've got your sleep schedule, and then you've got the hours that are left over. And you're again going to create what I would call my normal week. Wives, you need to create your normal weekly schedule. Homekeeping is, of course, very important on that normal weekly schedule. All right? That means there ought to be some things that are done in your home every single week in order to keep your home clean and pleasant and a nice place to live every single week. Okay? So you're going to put that on the list. Shopping needs to be done. Hobbies. Kids' activities or kid times. You need to have, as a mother, you need to have time every single week where you just do some things with the kids, okay? And I'm talking mostly to stay-at-home moms right now, okay? Again, exercise. Watch this. A help meet list. A help meet list. Now, let me help ladies right now. I want you to please listen to me, and let's get our thinking biblical, okay? All right. God did not create Eve. Put her in a garden and then say, she needs a helpmeet. And make Adam and say, Adam's your helpmeet. Let me help some of you ladies and let me take away some of your frustrations. Some of you are constantly frustrated at your husband because the responsibilities that you need to have and should have, you want him to be your helpmeet. You're not created, he's not created to be your helpmeet. You're created to be his helpmeet. Okay, now if you'll check mark that, believe it, embrace it. Okay, say God's wiser than all of us. God's wiser than the culture. God's wiser than. Okay, then it's going to help you. One of the things that God created you to do. Okay, your husband's got work schedule. He's gone. There's certain things he's trying to accomplish. One of the best questions you can ask your husband before he leaves every day of his life. First of all, kissing. I don't think any man ought to leave the house without kissing his wife, all right? All right, kissing, all right? Well, he just doesn't do that. And you know what she's saying? Well, she don't do that. Why don't both of you attack each other tomorrow, all right? Okay. Come on. Really, I need to coach this? Come on now, all right? It's amazing. I spent half of my life trying to keep these kids, these boys right here, their lips off these girls, and then they finally get a license and they don't want to do it. I don't understand you. It's nuts. Amen. You need to, here's one of the best questions you can ask after you kiss him. What can I do for you today? Is there anything that I can do for you today? My wife has been wonderful. And literally, she asked that question a dozen times a week. What can I do? Is there anything I can do for you today? That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And you know what she's doing? She's being a helpmeet. There's so many things that I've got going. Listen, she's not worried about trying to make a career or make herself a success. She sees herself as a success by helping to make me a success in what God's called me to do. And that is Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, original intent. Okay, oh, that's 1950. You can say whatever you want to. Laugh about it, mock about it, call it the cleavers. Say, listen, go back to the 1950s. We were a better country. All right, we were a better country. So again, you've got that list then. Now, these are your weekly things. Man, if you could take care of this every week for me, that would just, man, that would be awesome. Okay, put that on your list. Make sure you get that done for him every week, all right? Wives, create your normal weekly list and then create your schedule. All right, now, as much as possible, once you create this normal weekly schedule, whatever you do, do it the same day of every week. This makes life so much simpler, okay? If you'll just wake up and guess what? It's Thursday. Okay, ladies, it's Thursday, and Thursday's bathroom day. And every single Thursday, one day a week, every single week, your bathrooms get a thorough cleaning. Okay? Amen? All right. Thursdays, I mean, if you slot it, then you don't have to wake up every day and say, okay, what do I do? As much as possible, your normal things slot on the same day of every week. And then that helps you. Certain days, this is what I do. This is what I accomplish. On this day, I do my hobby. Okay? On this day, I do the laundry. On this day, you know what? I go through and do the dusting. And at least once a week, everything's getting done. You can take one whole day and dedicate it to cleaning. You could give 2 hours on several days. I mean, do whatever, hey, works for you. But if you'll do the same thing every day of every, gentlemen, same way. You know what? I pretty much mow my grass on the same day every week. I mean, unless something happens in the church, unless there's an emergency, unless I have to rush to the hospital. You know what? Every single week on a certain day, I have weekly things slotted where I do that on that day. And it simplifies your life, and it keeps you from having these things fall through the cracks and not get done. Okay? Am I making sense? All right. So plan your normal weekly schedule. Now, wives, you're going to plan yours, and husbands, you're going to plan yours. You've got your Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He's got his. When you both get them done, sit down together and say, now let's compare. Okay? Wow, if you do that on this day, it'd make more sense if we both change this to this, and then get it, work together, and get your weekly things so that they make sense with each other, okay? So we have given God top priority. We plan our family celebrations and events, and then we plan what I call our normal weekly schedule. And there, and on our normally weekly schedule, there's some things that we do the same day every week unless it's a crazy week or something happens or we're thrown out of our normal because of some other responsibilities or events, and that's fine. You're going to have that happen. As soon as possible, get back to normal. Just get back to normal. Number four. All right. We've given God top priority. We've planned family celebrations event. Then we have our normal weekly routine and normally weekly responsibilities. Number four, everything else that comes up needs to go on a to-do list. Okay, there's some things that aren't weekly. There's some things that just pop up. There's just some things that need to be done. All right, you're going to come home, gentlemen, and your wife's going to say, hey, the tire in my car keeps going down. Okay, that's not a weekly responsibility, but it's something you need to take care of for her. Okay, the minute you do that, she says that if you do not put it on a to-do list, you will not do anything about it. Any of the gentlemen want to say amen right there, all right? Okay, I've got this sign in my garage that I bought. I bought it because my wife, I knew, would enjoy it. It says this, I'm a man. If I say that I will fix it, I will. You don't have to remind me every 6 months. Any of you late? Come on now, all right? Okay, if you don't write it down, you're not going to do it. So everything else that happens in my life that comes up, everything else that I can't plan and slot on a weekly, regular basis, it goes onto a to-do list. Okay, now, watch this. You need to keep a running to-do list. You got to decide how you're going to do it. Now, I'm just an old-fashioned paper and pen guy. All right, this is how I need to operate, and it just works for me. I keep a to-do list written down. Okay, I've got a to-do list that are church-connected. I've got a to-do list that's personally connected. Some of you can use your cell phones for this. And by the way, it'd be a wonderful day in your life if you'd make technology a tool instead of a toy. It's a wonderful day in your life if you'll make technology a tool instead of a toy, okay? So this isn't a toy. The grandkids come over and they're like, can we play with my phone? I say, absolutely not. It's not a toy. It's a tool. So you're a grumpy grandpa. No, I'm trying to teach a generation something they need to learn from a so you can find on most of these phones, if you have one, there's some kind of a note app. All right? I'm finding it here, I think. There it is. That's why we go with paper and pencil. There it is. And by the way, there's a lot of times that I don't have my pad, my paper with me, so that what you're seeing in my phone is my notepad. And somebody will say something, or I'll need to do something. I need to get that on my list. I'll type it into my phone. Listen, whatever works for you, okay? Some of you, preacher, I'm just more technology, and that works better for me. Some of you, you don't need to buy this. You have this, and you use this. I'm okay with that, all right? That's fine. I'm just kind of a paper and pencil guy. I do like this in the regard that I can look at a month's worth. Now, on my calendar, and maybe you've got a better one than I do, but on my calendar here, I can look at it, and I can see a month, and I can have dots telling me there's something on every one of those days, but I have to hit every one of those to see what it is. I want to be able to, at a glance, say, this is everything going on in the next 30 days in my life and be aware of it. So that's why this works better for me. But again, isn't it great? God made us all different. This may work great for you. If it works great for you, go with it, whatever. But you need to put all this on a to-do list. Now, when do I do the to-do list? Okay. You do your to-do list. Your to-do list gets accomplished in the time gaps of everyday life. And so you listen again. Let's go back to what I preached on Wednesday night. If you don't have time gaps, you probably need to remove rubbish. Okay? Well, I just don't have, there's no way. Our lives are so busy and so packed and so full, there's no way I can get to these other things. Then you need to remove rubbish out of your life. You need to dial it back. Some of you need to make drastic changes. I'm sorry you do. Okay, I mean, I'd go crazy if I lived 100 miles an hour with never having a chance for a breath or a, you know, well, this all sounds good, preacher, but you just don't know my life. Well, you chose your life. Okay, so what I'm saying is do some real heart searching. Every one of us is different. I'm not trying to get you to live like Jerry Ross. I'm not going to live like you, but you need to do something and make sure you construct a life that works. And so all of these things that come up in life, all the unexpected things of life, all the one-time or two-time or monthly things or frustration points or things that need to be fixed, everything goes on a to-do list, all right? Now, you get your to-do list accomplished in the time gaps of your life. If you're watching 30 to 40 hours of TV a week, you probably don't have time gaps, okay? If you need to, and by the way, you say, preacher, my to-do list, it's overwhelming. I'm falling behind on it. Then you need to schedule a weekly slot in your weekly schedule, half day, where it says catch up on to-do list. Okay? Because some days you're going to have to do that. This is where we build flexibility. Guess what? Maybe you don't get to pull off that hobby this week. Life just took over. So what? Get caught up, pick it back up next week. Okay? I mean, maybe the kids need to wear the same pair of underwear for another week, all right? No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. You laugh, but I'm looking around, mother's going, I've had those weeks before where kid go dig in the laundry basket, all right? But, wow. All right. Hey, some weeks are crazy. All right, so but as much as possible, put everything else on your to-do list. Now, what are you doing, preacher? I've given God top priority. There's some things slotted in. They're non-negotiable every week. Unless I'm providentially hindered, those things I do for God, those things I give to God. Then I have my family, and you know what? I protect that also, and you ought to be very protective of that, okay? Somebody calls you up, sir, and he says, hey, would you like to go to this? You look, say, let me check my schedule. And this is what your preacher says to you. Well, I got to look at my schedule. So I look at my schedule, and it's a date night with my wife. Guess what you do? You say, I'm sorry, we got something planned that night. Okay, let's keep our priorities in the right order, okay? And so we're doing these things. Now, and by the way, your wife hears you do that a few times. Come on, guys, most of the marriage problems are created, and they don't have to be. Your wife needs to know she's important to you. Okay, ladies, your husband needs to know that he's important to you. And so let's just do that for each other. Your kids need to know they're important. You need to feel like they're important to you. And so don't plan something, tell them about something, and then over something that's not really that big a deal, cancel it, okay? Protect those times, do those things together, okay? So I've given God this, I've given my family this, and then I have my weekly responsibilities that have to be done every week and what days I slot to do each of those responsibilities. And then I got the craziness called life, and extra things pop up and happen, and they go on my to-do list. And I get up every morning, and I've got 2 hours today that I can work on my to-do list, or 3 hours today I can work on my to-do list. And I look at my to-do list, and I prioritize which ones need to be done, what's most important, there's some kind of a time pressure. I've got to have that done by a certain time, certain day, and you're going to have to figure out the priorities of that. And that means some things may stay on your to-do list for a couple weeks and it dropped down but you know, eventually get to them and work through it, and everything else goes to the to-do list. Number five, keys to staying on schedule. Let me give you some closing remarks, okay? Folks, listen to me. Do all of this, what I said, but you also have to learn flexibility in life, okay? Not everything ever goes as planned. I don't know if I had a week in my life where every single thing, whew, there was no interruption. I was able to pull it all off. So you got to learn flexibility in life. Number two, expect disaster days because they're going to happen. And I mean, everything that you had planned for the next day or the next 2 days or the next 3 days is gone. Okay, it's going to happen. And ladies, listen to me. Don't get frustrated. If your husband didn't create the disaster, he's just reacting to a disaster. Okay, so sometimes things are going to happen, and guess what? We don't have a choice. We both understand this. We communicate that. We talk about it. You know what? We're going to have to set this stuff aside, and we'll either reschedule it later on this month, try to find a spot, or we'll just have to skip it till next month, and that's going to happen. Just make sure, folks, listen to me. Disasters happen, but also sometimes a disaster could have been prevented. And so don't ignore things that are created. If you're having one area of your life where there's always an unexpected disaster happening, then you need to look at how to disaster-proof that area of your life. I know I'm giving you a lot of things. Number three, communicate every evening with your spouse. Be clear before you go to bed. Be clear about what's going on the next day. Okay? Now, very interesting little phrase during the 6 days of creation. Here's the phrase. When God got done creating, the Bible says, and the evening and the morning was the first day. And the evening and the morning was the second day. Let me give you a real good Bible principle. Next, tomorrow's success or lack thereof is going to be decided before you go to bed tonight. And you know what? There's hardly a night where we don't, just in casual conversation before we're getting ready to go to bed, what's the plan tomorrow? And I want to know what she needs to accomplish, and I tell her what I need to accomplish, and we look at it. And, you know, sometimes it's just, well, just normal schedule. Okay, good. Or sometimes it's, you know what, I have to do this. And when I leave the house, listen, gentlemen, I want you to get this. When I leave the house, my wife knows what I'm going to be doing that day. And when I leave the house, I know what she's going to be doing that day. Why in the world do you need secrets? Sir, why are you offended when your wife asks you, well, what are you doing today? Or where have you been? If you got a problem with that, you probably got some problems. Are you listening to me? Okay. It was none of your business. What do you mean it's not? The two is one flesh. Okay, she has every right to have some reasonable knowledge and expectation of what's going on in your life, sir. Excuse me. If you didn't want her to know that, you should have stayed single. All right, same thing, ma'am. Okay, what are you doing today? Well, I don't know. Why do you always ask? Come on. Come on. Care more about your marriage than that, okay? So communicate every evening with your spouse, and that way you're on the kind of the same page, and you got a game plan, and you're going to get, you know what you're going to be doing the next day. Number four, enjoy the everyday moments of life. Many of the best moments in life you cannot schedule. And I mean that. You know, folks, don't look at your schedule as, well, now I've got this boss, I've got this slave driver called a schedule, and you know what? My life is over, my fun's over because every minute's dictated. You know what? I say this often from the pulpit, and I want you to learn this and get this from your preacher. And I don't want you to get everything from me, but I want you to get this. Whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to have a good time doing it. Whatever I'm going to do tomorrow, I'm going to have a good time doing it. What about if it's not enjoyable? You can do an unenjoyable task with a great attitude and find a way to make it fun. You really can. And so life isn't a drudgery to me. I don't get up and look at my schedule and go, oh, you know, I do. I say, okay, I get to do this, and I get to do this. And by the way, I'm gonna have a good time while I'm doing it. All right. Last thing, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Now this goes back to what we introduced in our scripture in the beginning. No matter what schedule I've set, no matter what's on my to-do list, it's very important at the beginning of every single day, I spend some time in the Word of God and I spend some time in prayer. And many times the Lord will change part of my schedule, my day, by what I've studied in the Scriptures or something the Holy Spirit lays upon my heart. You ever had a day that you pretty much had planned out? And all of a sudden, for whatever reason, maybe the evening before that day or that morning, the Lord begins to really lay a situation on your heart or a person on your heart or somebody that you know. Listen, I don't have to tell you when this happens. You know where God's saying you need to take time to go see them. And you know what? Our reaction so many times is, well, Lord, I don't have time. But again, folks, watch this. You know what? That's where we're getting into this area that was dealt with in James chapter 4, where we start dictating to God without bowing to his will. His plan is primary. My plan is secondary. God gets to trump anything on my schedule at any time. Okay? And he does that through the leading of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes, in the course of a day, I'll be here at the church and I'll think I'm going to spend the afternoon doing this, and the Lord will bear witness with my heart and bring to mind and memory something that I have either neglected to do or I just found out about, and it's something changes. And by the way, let me say this again, gentlemen. If I do that, all of a sudden, I didn't think I was going to be going to Swiss City, and now I am. You know what I'll do on the way? Hey, honey, how's your day going? Hey, I got thinking about so-and-so in this situation, and boy, Lord, anyway, Lord's impressed me. I want to go over. I want to sit down with him for a little while. I want to let you know I'm heading over to so-and-so's house. That's where I'll be if you need me. You need anything? Good? All right, love you. All right. You know why? Because I'm building accountability into my life, okay? I don't want somebody in the church walk with my wife and say, did you know your husband was such and such Tuesday? Well, I didn't know he was there. What was he doing over there? Well, it's none of her business. Yeah, it is. Come on. Lose that fake pseudo-machoism. Okay, that's not of God. All right? You care enough about your wife, you keep her informed. Ladies, you care about your husband, you keep him informed, all right? And so that's how we plan our time. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for just this good instruction. I pray, Lord, that you'll use this to help us to be better at accomplishing what we need to. Thank you, Lord, for life. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to live this life. And the Bible talks about a husband and wife being heirs together of the grace of life. Wow. Well, there's a sermon, heirs together of the grace of life. Thank you, Lord, that I not only get to live this life, but you've given me a wife to share things with and to participate in the grace of life with. And Lord, I pray this as we live our lives out, dear God, this vapor, I mean, boy, it's going fast and it's going to disappear soon. And only one life, so soon it's past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to live very purposefully. And Lord, may we use this very simple, practical study and some good advice to have our hearts once again turn towards home. We pray these things in Jesus' name.